Okay, so here we are again for another episode of the FLT. We're going to take a little bit of a different track today. So this is an FLT team huddle with beers.
Cheers.
Say hello, everybody.
Cheers.
Hello. Okay, the whole team is here. So for those that have been listening along, we're joined also by Kelly and Bella. Kelly and Bella, do you guys want to give yourself a quick introduction?
Sure. Hello, everyone. So I'm Kelly. I'm not usually on the podcast. I'm behind the scenes. My title is Chief of Opportunities. So in practice, what that means is I am taking care of the public relations and the partnerships for FLT. So happy to be here. Happy to be a part of this wonderful, wonderful initiative with these fabulous people.
Awesome. And if you're like the good people at Fat Lizard who put up this fantastic recording space for us today and you want to join the show and help us out, then reach out to Kelly on LinkedIn. And Instagram, I think, is also...
Instagram is good.
It's good, yeah. Yeah. And we can discuss developing opportunities. And Bella, behind the mic, quickly, just in front of the mic.
Hi, I'm Bella. Oh, this is actually a bit weird to hear myself talk because I have not been speaking to the microphone. I've been working behind the scenes, recording the episodes for you, for our dear audience. And yeah, I'm taking some video clips and I'm just so happy to be on this wonderful team with this wonderful people. Ooh, what else can I say?
You could say cheers.
Yeah, cheers. We are happy to have you both.
And I'm so happy that we are doing this FLT after work. We have our beers here. It's a more relaxed atmosphere. And yeah, hopefully the audience will get to know our hosts better and Kelly.
And you.
And I will give the microphone back to Kelly.
Fantastic. Okay.
It's so, a really nice lager from Fat Lizard.
Fat Lizard, Otaniemi. Right, that's the Fat Lizard Brewery is next. Is the next recording?
But really good lager.
But if you want a good place to think about, you know, new ideas and new projects, Fat Lizard in Otaniemi is a really, you know, top notch establishment that we couldn't recommend.
And really cheap parking, actually.
Super cheap parking. Parking is probably
just outside.
It's
of the
one of the best qualities. Also, if you're listening and you hear clunks or clinks along the way, we're going to apologize for that, but we're not going to cut them out because we're having beers as a team. With that in mind, how are you guys doing? Hanley, Alexei, you guys okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, despite the weather. The weather is the worst every time we are recording.
Blizzard.
It's a blizzard outside. And I perhaps once we have had a nice weather when we recorded these sessions, but otherwise pouring rain, pouring snow, blizzard.
Yeah.
Storm.
We should stop recording.
Yeah, it's not
the health Finland.
Guys, it's not climate change. It's the FLT podcast that keeps bringing winter back to Finland. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lovely blizzard outside, but it's okay. And Alexei, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. Given that it's supposed to be warm, but it's not. Yeah, all good.
Good. What have you guys been up to lately? Annalie, I've seen you involved in the ICA diversity, activity.
Yeah, age diversity. Yeah. Retrajalas, a group of people who are trying to change perceptions about 50 plus people in work life. And it's about 40, 50 extremely powerful people working on changing mindsets, changing systems, changing governance. Yeah, influencing the parliament, the workers' unions, etc., companies, of course.
I'm right. This came to prominence when Reeta posted something on LinkedIn about a conversation she'd had with a headhunter. I think the headhunter was asking for recommendations for like a CEO position. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then from her friend, the headhunter, she got some interesting information.
Yeah, the headhunter said that I would ask you, but you're too old. And she's 57, so this triggered a huge conversation on LinkedIn with a lot of likes and comments, and it's still ongoing.
Oh, it's good work. I hope. Do we stay updated on the progress?
Yes, absolutely.
But I mean, there's research as well that kind of shows that it's not only about age, it's also about physical appearance. Mm. Like, you know, there's colleagues, they've done research on Finnish headhunters, and basically the idea is that when headhunters are looking for somebody for a top management position, then they want to make sure that it's a guy in a good physical shape.
Mm. A tall guy.
Usually tall, yeah, exactly. So it's not only age, there's a lot of these attributes of ideal executive.
Absolutely. And beyond executive, there's a bunch of studies on the amount of applications it takes for foreign workers to get in. So I think it's, there was one study where it was the same CV, same qualifications, and they mixed up the identity, Finnish, British, Iranian, African. And for the darker skinned migrants, it was like 300 plus applications before they got an interview. For the Scandinavian types, it was 10 or 20. For the Brits, 25 to 50. So it's a really, stereotyping in recruitment is
absolutely
a big deal.
This also applies to names. So if you have a Finnish surname, for example, you have a higher chance of getting hired.
Really?
That's a bit of a discrimination there.
I'm going to update my CV.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It explains a lot. Yeah, I should have gone for my wife's name.
Yeah. How about you, Alexa? What have you been up to?
Well, a bit maybe related to what you guys mentioned. Somehow lately I've been, there's something that kind of makes me feel concerned a little bit. So because, you know, in our work at Aalto, we actually dedicate a lot of energy in to kind of making sure that we teach our students about the value of diversity and inclusion. There's courses, there's projects about that and so on. Lately now I've been actually involved in some discussions with companies in different ways, different channels. There seems to be that kind of consensus emerging that it's either some companies feel that they're really advanced in diversity and inclusion issues, that it doesn't really need to, you know, there's no need to pay attention to that anymore for those companies. Or then there are those who feel that, you know, it's just not worth it. They haven't been doing it previously, so why bother now? So it seems that the trend is kind of in the awareness of the value of diversity and inclusion and equality is decreasing in Finland. And that's something that, you know, when I also being foreigner myself in Finland, I think it's, the things haven't improved really much. And I actually found one study as I was kind of preparing for this today, a little bit by Inclusive. So they did a survey of 60 companies in Finland, and they found that only 10% feel that diversity and inclusion initiatives are well integrated into business strategies. And the rest of the companies are basically either not thinking it's anything of value, or then they just play with it a little bit, but it's not a serious part of their story. And one of these 10% of those companies is actually Aalto University. And which was very pleasing, but I also know how things are at Aalto. For instance, now being in a leadership position myself at Aalto, I never got any kind of training in diversity and inclusion, for instance, that you would expect from, you know, 10% top organizations in Finland. So that's something that I've been thinking about, and I think it's a bit worrying for me. Also knowing how difficult it is for our foreign students to get employed in Finland, which is really a big concern now with the changing political situation, with the, you know, new initiatives of the government to kind of make it more difficult for foreigners to come to Finland. Sorry, but that's the weather.
That's the weather.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that. So I guess I know, not naming names, but I know a couple of leaders that I've spoken to in the last 6 or 12 months, and they have the feeling that DEI or let's say equitable outcomes already basically exist. It's just a competitive market, and we have to let the competition fly. There's a new, you know, for a long time, everybody was all about, not Bill Gates, the Apple guy who died.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, Steve Jobs was business Jesus for like a long time, and now it's Elon Musk. And I think Elon Musk recently has been kind of getting into the culture war and talking about what is and isn't racist and all this other stuff. And I think a lot of people take their cues from leaders like that, who kind of put out a kind of prominent shadow, but I think quite often miss the maybe the nuance of actually what's going on. So I mean, he's a naturally antagonistic leader, which we can discuss if that's good or not good. But it's certainly now in the leadership zeitgeist that, like, if Elon Musk says, "Hey, diversity's over," then many others will take that into their kind of like beliefs and belief system.
Hmm. And there's the trend of I was just reading the Edelman Trust Barometer from 2023 and 2024, and there's this trend that people don't trust governments since Trump. They don't trust, unfortunately, NGOs. They don't trust any media since fake news. They do trust businesses, not business leaders, but businesses, but that's declining. And there is a trust of peers, sort of your own bubble, which is it social media bubble or something else, but trusting peers is growing. And perhaps if Elon Musk is in their bubble, then that's what people believe.
Yeah, he's written, or there's been a bunch of books written about him and about his leadership style. And one thing you can't argue about Musk is that he's had three or four relatively high-risk ventures with large capital investment, and he's been successful at them. And so I think if you're in a kind of, if you're in that executive space, Elon Musk has to be in one of the brackets for being a trendsetter. But I mean, do they trust his business? I mean, the Twitter board and the Tesla board and all of the shareholders have always been nervous with him as a, you know, as a sustainable business operator. So that's, I'm not sure if he's exactly the right person to idolize in that sense. But it's an interesting question about businesses. I mean, if people don't trust governments and institutions and they start to trust their employees or their businesses, is that because they trust the businesses, or is that because the businesses have basically been apolitical for forever and now we're just looking at them because there's no other option?
I think so. Yeah, the latter. Yeah. There's no other option. But I think what the businesses miss is to utilize this opportunity. Actually, they misutilize it even more. And I think it should be taken seriously that if your employees believe what you say, you should utilize it to change the world into a better one. But I don't think so. Yeah. I was also looking into a very new research which was studying sustainability in decision making of the boards in Finland, done by Hanken and Aalto.
And we'll
add
the boots.
Go on.
And what they did was they interviewed 19 chair persons of the boards, and they clearly could see that there are the trailblazers, but there are other followers as well. The trailblazers did not just talk about, even though on the ESG front their tendency is to focus right now on the E, the environment, but these chair people were very aware of also the social and governance related topics, which was really, I was happy to see and happy to hear. Now the next step of this research, I understand, is to interview also CEOs and top leaders of the company. And then we can start seeing the difference, because the boards are worried about ESG and how to communicate to the investors their sustainability topics. But then the CEOs, even though they do have, many of them already now have, are incentivized on sustainability topics, still it's the financial performance that is driving them mostly, which is understandable. But these things, especially the social responsibility of companies, is forgotten. And because I was leading DEI for Nokia quite some time, I do realize that this is the tendency, is either companies say that we integrate DEI into other processes, other HR topics, or then they sort of say that we think it's done, right? We are equal, it's done, it's, you know, let's not focus on that so much. It was a buzz and now it's not so much anymore. And I think having done that for 5 years, I think the problem or the risk is the political polarization. And as you said, Mark, companies, especially in Finland, they don't take political stance. It's they're proud of that almost. They don't, and politics and the corporate world are kept separate. And now that social justice is so polarizing, having these robust conversations within companies is difficult. It's a risk. And how to steer that, how to lead that, coming back to the leadership topic, is not easy. It's not a straightforward thing.
It's true, but I mean, I don't know, it really depends how you want to like pull this one apart, though. I would push back a little bit to say that like it's a distinction between boards and CEOs, right? Because I think these aren't out yet, but we were about to talk to Celine Basula and Mervi Airaktinen, Microsoft and Redlinx. And they both seem like leaders that are not just, they don't treat sustainability or diversity or any of those really good sustainable topics as like a checkbox thing. They really want to see change. I think it could be, obviously it varies from company to company, from CEO to CEO. But the CEOs that we've met and that also that we meet maybe privately tend to want long-term success, tend to focus on like 3, 5, 10 years, which means they take into account social responsibility, they take into account diversity, they take into account their impact on the environment. The question is, though, how does the company pull together its operations and its sort of middle management and staff to align with that with that goal? Because change always takes a lot of time.
You have nothing to do and you're listening to the FLT podcast.
You should be studying and you're listening to the FLT podcast.
Well, there's some optimistic news. No, I mean, when it comes to responsibility, for instance, so there's quite nice news for Aalto. So Aalto was actually named as one of the 5 schools in the world. They were awarded by Financial Times as the like one of the best institutions that provide sustainability-related education in the world, top 5. So the next generation of Finnish leadership will be different.
Excellent.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is this
the closing? is this the closing statement?
Is this where we cheers?
Yeah. Good, Aalto. Thanks, Dan.
Other schools are available. We just have to say that. Yeah. But it's an maybe that's the thought to lead it on. Is that like, well, there are certainly some leaders coming up who have these subjects close to heart on the show. But it's actually a good question about thinking about how do leaders and how does a company actually make change happen in their organization on these topics? Because it's not helpful to have people like losing faith in the idea right at the time when we need to start actually getting to implementation.
Let me see if I can add my 2 cents here. So the topic here is DEI is dead. When I hear that phrase, what I think about is a double-edged sword. So DEI, it has been like you said, a buzzword, a trend, a fad. You know, you want to spread it on the front and center of your web pages. And in practice, what is actually being done? That's one aspect. And then like, you know, there's power in what you focus on. So if you focus on DEI, it's like, if you don't talk about it, is anything ever going to be done about it? Mm. You know, so this is what I see when I think about DEI is dead.
Well, actually, I think there's a really good point there, which is a lot of the marketing and the messaging and like
PvP?
The brand stuff, that moves really fast. But if you want to change cultures at a large scale, that moves really slow, right? That goes manager by manager, team by team, line by line. And almost certainly what's happening is, you know, you look through organizations and managers and executives are probably quite rightly going, hey, what's going on? You know, we've got all these programs, all the adverts look great, so we've ticked the box for the inflow pipe. What's happening like with my actual teams? Are they not already diverse? But that's a difficult question to answer. And it's not really straightforward. And it takes time for people to get used to, you know, a new way of operating that is more sustainable. So it could just be that the advertising has kind of outpaced the actual change within organizations.
And what I would advocate for is not to start with necessarily with diversity angle, not saying that it's important, it isn't important. It's important, but start with inclusion angle. Inclusion of everyone, and then also the majorities. And then when you do that, as a majority, you have the responsibility of making sure that you take care of your minorities. And that is where you give the voice also to the minorities. And that is how everybody learns what is life, what does life look like for someone who has a different sexual orientation or who is a person of disability or etc. So when you start from the position of inclusion, actually then you start to be inclusive of all kinds of people, all the unique people in your company.
Absolutely. And this brings us to the question, how do you actually do that in practice? Which is create a safe space for people to speak up.
Yeah.
And I guess DEI cannot be dead, because I mean you cannot just close Finnish borders and pretend that this is an island or bubble. I mean, you cannot avoid the fact that, you know, it's the society will become more diverse and organizations need to respond to that. So and well, competitiveness, well-being of, you know, Finland and many other things actually depend on the ability to tackle this in a smart, intelligent way. So maybe it's a concept of just, you know, the whole fashion of DEI will not be on top of the list of organizations, but it's a phenomenon that organizations need to deal with in practice. I mean, it's unavoidable.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about a leader. If there is a leader that says like, hey, DEI is dead, we accomplished it, it's already done, then what are they striving for? Right? That tells you that it's short-term focus, just the profits, just not on that, not on the innovation or the new ideas, but just on milking what they've already got.
And I think there can be good discussions, especially involving the voice of all kinds of people in the corporations as well, without it being political. And that is what corporations should aim for, you know, listening to all voices, giving them a chance, everybody a chance, and then not allowing political, so it cannot be politicized within a company. I understand that very well.
Okay, I think that'll do us for this one. Nice and short episode. If you enjoyed this, go get yourself a beer. And if you're going to get yourself a beer, get yourself a Fat Lizard beer. Tasty Fat Lizard.
You can also get us a beer.
And get us a beer. Actually, yeah, so you can find on our website, there's a section called Support the Show. So if you want to support the show, there's a place where you can actually do that.
So we accept all currencies, cryptocurrencies, and beers.
Exactly.
And liquid currencies as well.
Raw materials, you know, services.
Raw materials.
We'll take any help we can get.
That's at the-flt.com.
Yeah, thank you very much. You can also contact us at contact@the-flt.com. You can reach us also on LinkedIn and on Instagram at the FLT podcast. Thank you. As always, to Bella behind the mics, and to Kelly,
and to the listeners,
Noni.
Noni. As they say.
More of that coming up.
Noni.
Yeah.
Hey, Annalie, Alexei, thanks very much.
Thank you, thank Kelly, you. Thank Alexei, you, and Mark.
Thank you.
Skål.
Skål.